Vasudevaya Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we are continuing the reading of Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 13, Text 12. The discourse on the dynasty of Maharaj Nimi. Maharaj Nimi belonged to the Suya Vamsa, the Sun dynasty. This is the same dynasty by which Lord Ramachandra made his appearance. The two dynasties are there. There's a Suya Vamsa, there's a Chandra Vamsa. So Suya Vamsa is Lord Ramachandra came, and Chandra Vamsa is Lord Krishna, came. So this chapter, it's concluding the narrations of the Suya Vamsa, the dynasties of the Sun God. So I'll just read the text, and then we'll do some discourse on that. Arajaka Bhayan Nrinam Mayamana Mahasaya Deham Mamantu Sma Nimehe Kumarha Samaja Yata Arajaka Bhayan Nrinam Mayamana Mahashaya Deha Mama Tusmani Me Kumara Samajayata Arajaka Bayan Rinam Mayamana Mahashaya Deha Mama Tusmani Me Kumara Samajayata Arajaka Bayan Rinam Mayamana Mahasaya Dehamamantus Manime Kumara Samajayata. Ladies, Matajis, ladies, I'm going to chant. Okay, it's too cold for you to chant. Arajaka Bhayan due to fear of the danger of an unregulated government. Minam for the people in general, Manyamanaha, considering this situation, Mahashayaha, the great sages, the ham, the body, Mamantuhu, Chand, Sma, in the past, Nimehe, of Maharaj Nimi, Kumaraha, one son, Samajayata, was thus born. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Sampopa Slavopada Ki. Thereafter, to save the people from the danger of an unregulated government, the sages Chand, Maharaj Nimi's material body, from which, as a result, a son was born. Purport. Arajaka Bhayam, if the government is unsteady and unregulated, there is danger of fear for the people. At the present moment, this danger always exists because of government by the people. Here, we can see that the great sages got a son from Nimi's material body to guide the citizens properly. For such guidance is the duty of a Kshatriya king. A Kshatriya is one who saves the citizens from being injured. In the so-called people's government, there is no training. There is no trained Kshatriya king. As soon as someone strong accumulates votes, he becomes the minister or president without training from the learned brahmanas, expert in the sastras. Indeed, we see that in some countries, the government changes from party to party, and therefore, the men in charge of the government are more eager to protect their position than to see that the citizens are happy. The Vedic civilization prefers monarchy. People like the government of Lord Ramachandra, the government of Maharaj Yudhishthira, and the government of Maharaj Parikit, Maharaj Ambarish, and Maharaj Prahlad. There are many instances of excellent government under a monarch. Gradually, the democratic government is becoming unfit for the needs of the people, and therefore, some parties are trying to elect a dictator. A dictatorship is the same as a monarchy, but without a trained leader. Actually, people will be happy when a trained leader, whether a monarch or a dictator, takes control of the government and rules the people according to the standard regulations of the authorized scriptures. Gurave Gurachindaya, Radhikaya Dalaya, Krishna Ya Krishna Bhaktaya, Tad Bhaktaya Namo Nama, Namamo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pita Abdurashmati Bhakti Nusamna, Namaste Sasati Vigurubani Pitani Sasunya Bhadi Pashta Vishtarini, Vanchaka Patrubis Chakri Pasan Bhivacha Patita Nampona Bhivashna Bhivanamo Nama. Rajaka Bhajaminam Mayamana Mahasaya Deham Mamatus Manime Kumara Samajayata. Thereafter, to save the people from the danger of an unregulated government, the sages Chand Maharaj Nimi's material body, from which as a result a son was born. So this is very very important and also very interesting, this that Srila Prabhupada written here in the commentary of how people can be happy. Normally people can be happy if there is no fear. You know, when there is no fear in the society, then people are happy. But how can the people be fearless unless there's proper government. It's only the government that can make people become fearless, because they are strong enough to take care of all unwanted elements. But you can see nowadays, such a situation is not there. Because the so-called democratic government, you know, it's in play. Normally, those who are so-called elected, they're only interested in their own self. They're not interested in the people's welfare, you know. Everybody got elected, you know, maybe they have their particular special interest, which they look after, you know. Like, somebody is campaigning for votes, normally get a bunch of donations from business people. You know, just like in America, for instance, you know, millions and millions. Now it's becoming like billions of dollars now to get elected as a president. And who's giving the money? All the businesses, they're giving the money. At the moment the president got elected, so his first obligation is to see that to those who are giving money for the election, to make sure they get a payback in the form of a favorable tax, so many things like that. So many regulations which are done to favor, you know, the so-called, you know, this business community. In the meanwhile, the common citizens, they suffer. And we can see that a government will come in, they make a bunch of regulations, bunch of rules, and then the next election, another party will come in, and whatever rules the previous government make, that will be nullified. And that will be another person will come with his own rules. You know, it doesn't matter which country, US, Europe, India, all over the world, because that's the Kali Yuga. That's what has happened in the 90s in this Kali Yuga. It's such a nasty age, whereby the rogues have become the rulers. So in the government that's being ruled by the rogues, how can there be peace for the society? You know, there can be no peace in such society. Whereas in the government, under the order of the Lord, in such government, people are happy. In the subject matter of Bhagavatam, there are 10 topics which are discussed in the subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam dealt with 10 topics. So these 10 topics are Atasha Govishagascha, Stanam Posana Utaya, Manvatare Sanamukamta, Nirudu Mukti Asaya. So the 10 topics which are described in Bhagavatam, the Shaga means the creation of the universe, the creation, and then Vishaga means the sub-creation, Stanam, the planetary systems, you know, when the division of the planets and all that. And then, Poshanam, protection by the Lord. Protection by the Lord, the creative impetus, the change of manners, the science of God, returning home, back to Godhead, liberation, and the summon Bonam. So these are the 10 topics which are described in the Bhagavatam. So actually, in all the Puranas, normally deal with 5 topics. Shaga, Vishagascha, Manvata, Purushana, Uttaya, 5 topics. Because there are 18 Puranas, and normally each of them deal with the 5 topics. But there are some other Puranas which goes a bit further. So Srimad Bhagavatam is a Mahapurana. It's a major Purana. So it goes a bit further than just ordinary 10 topics, ordinary 5 topics. So there are 10 topics described in the Bhagavatam. And one of them is this Poshanam, which is the protection by the Lord. And this protection, this is done by the, in the form of the kings, the virtuous kings. The kings, they are virtuous, they are Rajarshi, basically. And these kings, because their interest is the interest of the society in general. Like a king, he sees every citizen as his children. So because he sees every citizen as his children, so he's bound to you know, to give protection. He's going to, he's bound to, you know, to take care of the citizen. And in that society, you know, so people are happy. There is no just like the so-called climate change that goes on nowadays, you know, so-called imbalance in the nature, such a thing will not be there. Which means in the perfect society, where there is a perfect ruler, where there's actually a caring ruler, and that ruler is a representative of God, even the nature cooperates. You will not find extreme cold, extreme heat, flooding, so many natural disasters. That will not be there. In those days, rain will fall only at night time. Rain will not fall daytime. So which means everything is done for the, you know, peaceful coordination of the society. You know, whereas nowadays what we find everywhere, there's so much problem, you know, wherever you go, anywhere in the world. This is because of this so-called demonic civilization that we are in. So Srila Prabhupada, he specifically emphasized Arajaka Bhayan, which means the Bhayan means fear, the fearfulness that people are having. So Srila Prabhupada said that if the government is unsteady and unregulated, then there is danger of fear for the people. So when there is danger for the people, where is the happiness? Happiness cannot be there. No one is happy. Because you don't even know what's going to happen, because the government, they keep coming with all these crazy, crazy regulations. You know, you're a businessman, you have money. That money may be taken away from you at any time. Because the government themselves, they are crooks. And the government are crooks, you know. And because the government, because they know that their time is limited, while in power, so they will do whatever they can just to extract as much as possible. Normally, nowadays, you become a parliamentarian or whatever, so that you can become rich. Nowadays, that's basically what it means, you know. So, whereas the real government, as Srila Prabhupada put here, it's a government of monarch, the monarchy government. Because it's the government that actually sees people as his, he sees the citizen as his responsibility. That yes, I must take care of my responsibility. And such citizens and such rulers, they themselves take so much personal responsibility, they will take so much personal austerity just to make sure there's a provision for the whole citizen, just to make sure that, you know, Maharaj Prithu, you know, he was, you know, there was one time when the whole earth, because of the previous king, the King Vena, he was so sinful, so the earth stopped producing. So Maharaj Prithu, what he did, so he decided to perform a great sacrifice. He was even ready to punish the earth. And because of his great, you know, being a great king, so the earth complied to that. So the so-called government of the people by the people, this is actually, it's nothing but a demoniac government. And in that demoniac government, who is happy? No one is happy. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada is emphasizing here the monarchy government. Government by the monarchs, whereby person is there. It's not that you have a bunch of people who are simply trying to rule. You have one person is a monarch and he rule the people. And then make sure that the city, make sure there is no unwanted elements. He just make sure that the people are provided for. And when many countries who have a monarchy government, they actually much more, there's much more stability, there's much more happiness for the people. I just came from the Arab country, you know, from the Middle East, whereby the government there are mainly monarch. Like the just like I just from the Middle East, the UAE, the ruler there. So right from the beginning, he also make sure that yes, all his people are well taken care of. You know, this fellow will not even sleep. He will personally look after every project in the country. He will personally look after every project in the country. To make sure, yeah, the citizens are happy. Everyone got their needs provided for. Even sometimes, like Papa was saying, that even sometimes dictators can even be preferable than the so-called democratic that we have nowadays. I know that we have so many dictators in the recent past. You know, people like, you know, I mean, we all read about them, Gaddafi, Saddam Hussein, you know, who basically ruled by an iron fist, you know. But you have to know, you know, this is based on my own personal experience, okay? It's not just literary thing. Somebody like Gaddafi, before the NATO came and, you know, got rid of him, he provided for his people. You know, the country of Libya, everyone has everything. Everyone, all the children, all these kids, they all have free education. Everyone were provided for. The country was very, very rich. But because the West don't like him, they came and create problems and kill him. And at the moment he was killed, the country became upside down. The country became upside down, you know. Even though, yes, of course, we don't want a dictator, you know, but still, our prophet said that. He said, even people, they would prefer dictator because there, people get their needs provided for. They get it provided for. People, you know, like that. But, you know, we have this so-called, you know, democracy and all that. Our prophet called it a democracy, say, democracy. That's actually what democracy means. It means, you know, democracy, you know, isn't it? Prophet said that. That's what it means. So the other thing is how the society can be free from fear. And when the society is free from fear, then it's possible to, you know, to worship God. It's possible for people to actually pursue the higher goal of life. Because the human form of life is meant for self-realization. The human form of life is meant for to develop our eternal relationship with God, which has been lost. You know, Dhulabha Manaswajama, that the human form of life which is rarely attained, is meant to develop, our loving propensity to love God, to serve God. That's what it is meant for. So if there's a proper government, so therefore people are not disturbed. I mean, when people are not disturbed, so spiritual life become, you know, much more easier to practice in such a society. And that's what you find in this virtuous government. Like Prabhupada says, that he said that we want a government of moral judiciary. Like, that's what kind of government that people want. Moral judiciary, you know, Maharaj Parikshit Maharaj, the government of Lord Ramachandra, whereby the people are. Because people are ruled by saintly kings, so because they are ruled by saintly kings, so ultimately people themselves, they become virtuous themselves. There will not be so much a disturbance, you know, in the society. So Maharaj Nimi, because he did not want, when he was, because of the problems that arise between him and Vasishtha Muni, you know, as we have read in the past, that Vasishtha Muni, because Maharaj Nimi, you know, he wanted to conduct a sacrifice. He wanted to conduct a sacrifice, and he asked his guru to perform the jaga, Vasishtha Muni. But Vasishtha Muni had already been requested by Indradev to perform a jaga for him. So Vasishtha Muni told Nimi that, okay, you wait, I have other duty to perform. So you wait, when I finish with Indra, I will come and perform your sacrifice. So in the meanwhile, Maharaj Nimi, he went to Vashishtha Muni. He went to Indradev to perform his to do his sacrifice for him, but Maradevi could not wait. The time was going, so he engaged the service of other priests. He said, "Okay, you do this service for me. Do this jaga, because when there's a proper performance of jaga, then we can have proper rain. We can have all the facilities of life. That's the whole main purpose of jaga." But because Maharaj Nimi had done this, so when his guru came back, he became angry. Vashishtha Muni became angry. He said, why have you done this? I told you to wait till I finish the Indra's jaga. You should wait for me, so you have disobeyed my instructions, so therefore I caused you to die. So Nimi Maharaj was caused to die. But Nimi Maharaj said that, what have I done wrong? You have gone because you want more money. You have gone to Indradev to perform his sacrifice. But I cannot wait because this time is everything. So because he was cursed, because now Maharaj Nimi, he was also a very powerful king. Because those days, the rulers, they are saintly kings, Rajarshi. They're not just ordinary king. The saintly king. And those saintly kings, they also have power, so they're very, very powerful. So he also caused Vashishtha was. He said, "You will also die. Not that you also give up your body." So in this way, there's a cousin and then there's a counter cousin, and so Vashishtha had to give up his body. Similarly, also Nimi also. He also had to give up his body. But what is very interesting is that you can see that even though both of them gave up their body, but they were still in control of themselves. They were still in control of what their next destination will be. They were in control of it. You can just imagine. So they just have to give up a particular body, but they are still in control of their own destiny. So when Mitra and Varuna, they are two demigods, when they were lusty after Uvasi, who was the heavenly damsel, because he's so beautiful like anything, that when men see her, they just cannot control themselves. So when these two demigods, when they saw Uvasi, they became lusty after her, and then they discharged semen. So this semen was kept inside a pot. And then Vashishtha Muni, who had given up his body, so he took another birth from that semen. So therefore, Vashishtha sometimes, even though he is the son of Lord Brahma, but he sometimes called as the son of Mitra Varuna, these two demigods. So in this way, so Vashishtha got a new body. And then Maharaj Nimi also, when the demigods, all the priests, when they are performing sacrifice on behalf of the Maharaj Nimi, and when the sacrifice was over, and all the demigods, they were all pleased with the sacrifice. So the priest, they requested him that because his body has not been burned, his body was kept in some oil, which had its purpose was kept there. So the priest, they requested the demigods to revive Maharaj Nimi, because the demigods, they were able to bring back life. So the demigods are very powerful. They can bring back life. So they requested them to bring back life, that they want them to restore Maharaj Nimi, to bring back his soul, and so that the body can be revived, because Maharaj Nimi was a saintly king. So, but Maharaj Nimi said no. He said, I don't want to go back to that body. I don't want to again enter my material body again. I don't want it, because he said my material body is full of misery, is full of problem. Why should I again come back to the same material body again? So because Maharaj Nimi made the request that, okay, I don't want to come back to the material body, so therefore, if you are able, give me another body which will not be subjected to birth, death, old age, and disease. So you can see, even though Maradnimi he had cooked his body, but he still be able to control his destination. Whereas we, you know, once we die, we keep our body, that's it. You don't even know where you're going to go. We are completely, because nothing is in our control. You know, we have no control of anything. But those great personalities, they are in control of their destination. They are in control of where they go. You know, they are in control of all these things. Because the very powerful rishis, powerful kings, just like Vashishtha Muni, he was in control of his next destination. Similarly also, Marajnimi also, he was also in control of his next destination. You know, I wish we could be the same way also, that if you are living that body, you can say, oh, I want to go here, I want to go there. Whereas the great devotees, like Uddhava, Lord Brahma, they all pray that, yes, I want to take birth in the family of Vaishnavas. Like when Uddhava came here to Vrindavan, and he actually came to give a message from Krishna. He came here to give a consolation to the Brijabasi, because when Krishna left Vrindavan, the Brijabasi, they were, you know, grief, so much lamentation, so much crying of separation because Krishna had left Vrindavan. So Indra, he had come to Vrindavan to give a consolation to Brijabasi, to tell him that, Krishna is there in your heart. So why will you cry for him? You know, Krishna is in your heart, you know. So he came, but when he came here and he saw the nature of love that Brijabasi have for Krishna, he said, oh, this is, Krishna sent me here to give instruction to Brijabasi. Actually, Krishna actually sent me here to learn something from Brijabasi. So when he saw the nature of their love, so he make a prayer, he said, I want to be born as a grass in Vrindavan. Let me burn as a grass so that when the Brijabasi step up on me, I will get their blessing. So he prayed to be born as a grass. You know. So this is the devotee's mentality. So the Maharaj Nimi, so he said, I don't want material body. I want something different. I want a body that will not be subject to birth, death, old age, and disease. So the demigods, so with their power, they say, okay, let Marachinimi remain free from his material body. Let him remain free from his material body. So in this way, Marachinimi had... Now, Srila Prabhupada mentioned in one of the purport that Marachinimi attained a spiritual body, but another commentary by another acharya, they said that Marachinimi, he remained in his sorrow form, and then from there he became an associate of the Lord. So you have two different type of commentary that were given in the Bhagavatam. So now the body of Marajnimi was now lying on the ground. So the body was lying down on the ground, and the brahmanas, the rishis, so they were wondering what to do, because after all, people need to be protected from bad elements. There must be a ruler. Without a ruler, in a society will not function properly without a ruler. So they chant the body of Marajnimi. I don't know how they do that, but somehow they twisted his body, and then his son was born. You know, just like also in the fourth canto of Bhagavatam, you read about Vena, you know, King Vena, who became due to his bad association, so he became inimical to the brahmanas. He became just like a demon. So the brahmanas, they caused him to die. So he was caused to die. So King Vena died. But in the meanwhile, so the brahmana, they churned his body, and then Maharaj Prithu was born. Prithu came out. So, which means that the, just nowadays we have those so-called, when this infertilization, where the the people they gave birth. No. Which means, anyway, the sages of the past, they have this science so well. The science that if you want to produce a living entity, if you want somebody to take birth, he does not really need the copulation of men and women. And the woman got pregnant, and then the woman, she had to give birth after 9 months. So in those days, the sages, they don't need that. If they want a son to be born, the son can, the son can be born. Like Kripa and Kripi, they are the same thing. Kripa and Kripi was the wife of Dronacharya. Kripa, who was the guru of this astral guru of the Kauravas. Yeah, he was a guru. He was the palace guru, the Kripa. So he was born also in that way. He was born from a pot. Actually, he and his sister Kripa and Kripi, they were born from the pot that way. So we have many narrations that we find. This is how the rishis, how they enable someone to take birth. So because they want to produce a particular living entity, so they can make that possible. So by churning the body of Maharaj Nimi, then a son was born, and this son was was Janaka. Janaka. And Janaka was known because of the being coming from the body of Maharaj Nimi. Now Janaka does not really denote one person, because we read about King Janak Maharaj, who was the father of Sita Devi. So Janak Maharaj was the mother of Sita Devi, but the name Janaka actually denotes a particular dynasty. So everyone who is born from that particular family, they are known as Janaka. So which means there are so many Janakas, not just the mother of not just the father of Sita Devi. There are many Janakas. The father of Sita Devi, his name was Shiva Doya Janak. That's his name. But you find this in the later part of this chapter. So there are many Janak. There's one Janak who was the guru of Sukadeva Goswami. Sukadeva Goswami learned something from one Janak. So there are many Janakas, not just the Janaka who was the father of Sita Devi. Now the Janaka who was the father of Sita Devi, he is one of the Mahajans. Pralado Janako Bhishma Balivaya Sakivajan. So that way. So Janak, his name was Janak, so he was produced from the body of King Bena, and then obviously he was ordained to rule, to be the ruler. And as I mentioned earlier, that when there's a proper ruler, whereby people are taken care of, everyone is looked after, and there's no fear in the society, then it becomes possible to practice God realization. Practicing religion become possible. Now another thing that is mentioned here is that the monarch, there must be trained monarch, of course, because it's not that we can advocate the dictatorship. No. Somebody must be trained according to the Vedic civilization. Somebody must be, the train must be there, because when there's a proper training, then people can be ruled properly, because a king is supposed to represent God. And that's why a king is called a Naradev, because he represents God. So when there's that proper training, and the people can be guided towards the worship of God. So when there's the kingdom of Ram, the kingdom of Yudhishthira Maharaj, the kingdom of Parikshit Maharaj, all these virtuous kings, we can see that society is very happy, and the society is very, very godly. So when the society is godly, then everyone is happy. And everyone's next destination is much more assured. People can actually finish the journey in this material world and go back home, back to Godhead. So that is the summary of what is mentioned in this verse, and also the nice purpose by Srila Prabhupada. So I'm going to stop here. If there's any question or comment, you can... something about Maharaj Nimi. In the 11th canto of Bhagavatam, there's the discussion between the Navayugendras and then the Maharaj Nimi. So, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna? Yeah. Can you... 1 second. Is it... Yeah, obviously. Yeah, he's a great devotee of the Lord. Maharaj Nimi was a devotee of the Lord. He attended the supreme destination. Yeah. It's not working? Yeah. To deal with. Can you repeat what he said?
Yeah, he said how to deal with the government, like when they are not conscious of
the taking. Yeah, okay. This is Kali Yuga. It's government ruled by the demons. We are victims. You know, there will be a time, it's actually predicted in the 12th canto of Bhagavatam, there will be a time when devotees will be forced to go to the forest. There will be a time. Time is coming. This, to live in the city, village will be unbearable anymore. Be forced to go to the forest. Because, especially in Kali Yuga, the government is ruled by the demons. So, there's no way you can deal with them. What can you do? They are ruling. They are demons. They are ruling. There's nothing you can do except to depend on God or to depend on Krishna and do your bhajan nicely. But there will be a time when you'll be forced to leave the city. There will be a time is coming. So there's not going to be a good time in this Kali Yuga until the end of Kali Yuga. So that's, we can only do our renam, and the same for the next 10,000 years. You know, some of the society will be, you know, peaceful because Sankirtan will go on for the next 10,000 years. But after that, it will be complete darkness after that, complete chaos after that. You know. Hare Krishna. Any other point? Comment? Anyway, thank you very much. Gantra Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Hare Krishna.